preface and praise, we continue our study on the Lord's Prayer. And today we would focus on just the ninth verse. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The Lord's Prayer is the model or pattern for prayer. It is the wherewithal for blessed communion with God. The Lord's Prayer provides 8 pertinent elements of prayer. You recall we were studying it last week. Our Lord gives this precepts or principles of prayer so that we can be guided. The believer is to express his prayers based on these precepts or principles. And as we said last week, this is a simple yet profound outline on the doctrine of prayer. And we have used 8 P's to describe, to help us orientate the Lord's, through the Lord's Prayer. The preface, the praise, the to preach, power, provision, pardon, protection. And finally, to end, beginning with praise and to end with praise or pronouncement. Jesus says, "After this manner, pray ye." By a command and by a commitment, Jesus says, to make this your life habit. So when you become a child of God, when you call upon God for mercy, to wash away all your sins and to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, you are a newborn Christian and you have that lifeline with your Heavenly Father. And the question is this: how do you communicate with the Heavenly Father? How do you talk to the Heavenly Father? What it is, the manner in which you are to make this communication with your Heavenly Father? And we want to submit to you that the spiritual man, the man of God who has committed their life to God, prays. And he prays in this manner. And it behooves us to take the trouble, take the time to learn how to pray. Prayer is power with God. Prayer is power also with men. We prevail in life first on our knees, and we backslide and fall in life because we have not been praying in the closet. And so the Lord wants us to take time to learn. And we said we begin with this first P, the preface of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. The opening address, the invocation. Our Father, which art in heaven, tells us who this prayer is directed or addressed to. And there are some thoughts that we want to bring for you as we consider this verse 9 of the Lord's Prayer. Preface and praise, 3 thoughts. Adoption, authority, and reverential worship. Verse 9a, 9b part 1, 9b part 2, 9b part 1, Our Father which art in heaven. 9b part 2, or 9b part 1, encompasses the 2 thoughts. And 9c, hallowed be thy name. 3 things: the adoption, our Father, the addressing of the Father, and who art in heaven. What does it mean for Father to call upon the Father who is in heaven? The authority of God, that he is enthroned in heaven. That's the second part. And having this knowledge, how does it affect us? The next part: hallowed be thy name. Reverential worship. And so we want to think and consider that we are born into the kingdom of heaven by believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins and rose again the third day, victorious to give us eternal life. We become the sons of God through this adoption, through this faith that we exercise when someone comes into our life to share the good news of the gospel with us. And you know, that transformation that takes place in your life, in that simple faith that you placed upon the good news of the gospel, brings a miraculous transformation in your heart, in your life. God comes and abode with you. And what does it mean for the believer to have God coming alongside you, to live with you, to be your heavenly Father? Well, Paul articulated it in this very simple way. He says this: how God manifests His presence with us so that we can understand that there is a Father in heaven. The Father in heaven is a spirit. We don't see Him. How do we know He is there? Well, He manifested Himself to us. He revealed Himself to us. How does He do so? Well, through His Word. And the Apostle Paul wrote these words for our learning and understanding of how God revealed Himself to us. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was born the seed of a woman, virgin birth, made of a woman. We are made of men, right? When a man and a woman comes together, Jesus is made of a woman, conceived of the woman's seed, never before. Because Jesus is sinless, the immaculate birth, the seed of a woman made under the law. Jesus came and He lived a life long, 33 and a half years, fulfilling all the law, so that He, by His perfect obedience for all parts of the law, became that representative for us, to redeem us, to buy us back, that we which are under the law, right? What does it mean for us to be under the law? Where we find ourselves in bondage of sin, cannot but sin. We don't have that power to overcome sin by our own strength. It is God who by His grace gives to us that power to break that bondage, to have that strength to say no to sin, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So when we begin the Lord's Prayer, well, it tells us about that relationship that we have with our God. We are adopted as sons, as children of the living God. And as we said before, why did God put us into families? Why is it that you have a father, you have a mother, right? And you have children? That familial relationship, what does it tell you? What does it teach you? Well, it teaches you in eternity that you have a Father in heaven and you are a child. And it shows you how that relationship is physically enacted in your life. The interaction that you have with your Father is just that the Father in heaven is infinitely more powerful, loving, to care for all our lives. And what does He do? Well, and because here the The word is given there. It's a description of that relationship. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. So here, you see, God comes and lives with you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, so that you may know how to pray, whereby you cry, Abba. That's the Hebrew word, right? The word for Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. We are adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So here is a description of a relationship that we are an heir. What is an heir? An heir is someone who's going to inherit an inheritance. And what is that inheritance that God is giving to you? Well, He is giving to you heaven itself. Jesus said, I go and prepare a mansion for you, and I'll come and bring you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. So there is this adoption that the Lord wants us to understand. Paul said in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. God sending forth His Son through the blood of Jesus Christ that wash away all our sins, that we can come to have access to this Heavenly Father. How do we know that relationship? God revealed it to us, that we have a Father in heaven who cares for us, who loves us. For through Him, verse 18 says, through Christ, we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. And so we pray to the Father through the Son, through Christ, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so here is taught and given to us the power of that adoption. And it's given to us also the prescribed way to pray. It is to the Father in the Spirit through the Son. Herein is the pattern. That's why Jesus says, when He begins the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, addressing the Father who is in heaven. And we want us to consider how vast this universe is. If you think of it, the universe is so vast and great. We are just a tiny speck in the entire universe. And yet, you notice that out of all of God's creation, God's focus when He made the universe is on planet Earth. And out of all that He created on planet Earth, the focus was upon man. Man was made last. And we are made wonderfully and fearfully created, the Bible says, in the image of the triune God. That's how special we are. And the Lord wants us to understand how special we are. That we have a Heavenly Father. You are not orphans. You are special. You are made in the image of God. And God had to send His Son to come to show you the way of what God is doing for you, for your life. When I consider thy heavens, the psalmist says, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with honor and glory. Do you know that angels, that sin has no redemption? Only man, made in the image of God, whose image was marred because of his disobedience, was renewed, remade through the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so here is given to us this message of adoption, that we are not alone in this world. You have your problems that comes in life. Well, you're not alone to face all these problems that comes in life. So you ask yourself, right? You knock the door of heaven. You said, is anyone there? Does anyone care for me? You shout, is anybody watching over me? Is there someone in heaven that knows my name? Well, here in this Lord's Prayer, it is said to us that yes, indeed, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with honor and glory. God made the heavens and the seas. God brought the birds, God brought the plants, then brought the birds, brought the sea creatures, the living creatures, and the most inhabitable paradise that he made before he put men. Fearfully made in his image. What a wonderful privilege we have as the children of God, and as we begin the Lord's Prayer. This is what God wants you to know. You're privileged in Christ, that you have access to the Heavenly Father, that there is a God in heaven who cares for you, and he's called Father. And the Lord wants you to know. And this prayer, indeed, answers the deepest need, the deepest question of the human heart. Who are we? Where do we belong to? Where do we come from? Who made us? Well, we have a Heavenly Father who made us. And we are his children. And we come into being by that adoption. So this first thought reminds us, tells us that if we know Jesus Christ, we are not orphans in God's universe. But we have a Father in heaven who loves and cares for us. And so this is the first thought that tells us that our God, whom we call Father, is one in heaven who hears and knows and understands and cares for you. The Greek word Abba is a term of endearment that signifies a close and intimate relation that is existing between the father and the child. And we all know how a physical father would love the children with all their hearts. What more? An infinitely more powerful and capable and loving Father in heaven. And so the Lord wants us to understand and know that relationship. This prayer, it is significant. And we need to take time to study it. The Shorter Catechism says, the whole Word of God is of use to direct us to communicate with God or to pray. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And this is what we are doing. And we are saying here, right, that the people of God knows this Father in heaven. The people of Israel, if you search through the Old Testament, you find that God revealed himself, in fact, as the Father. David called to the Lord God of Israel, our Father. 1 Chronicles 29:10. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. The prophet Isaiah asked that God look down from heaven upon his people to bless them, to give them strength. Isaiah 63:16. Doubtless thou art our Father. Declaration. The Lord wants us to know that, you know, we are not, we have a spiritual being, a Father which is in heaven, and it is going to be a reality in eternity. And it behooves us to learn, right, how to build that relationship to be vibrant and strong. Psalm 103 verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. As a father who loves his children, who takes care of his children. And in the New Testament, you find that Jesus, when he came upon earth, called God the Father many times. You know how many times? More than 60 times. He addressed the Father in heaven. Why did he do that? Well, he reveals to us as the exact representation of the Father. He is the Son of the Father, and therefore he represents the Father, and he teaches us about that relationship, that personal relationship that we can have with him. He is the Father because he is the source of all that we are and have. That's why we sing the doxology, you remember? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Why do we sing that? Well, because we want to trace all our blessings to God. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, and as certain also of your poets have said, we are also his offspring. We are the offspring of God. And here the Lord wants us to understand, right, our Father who art in heaven. God wants us to know that exalted relationship that we have with the Father who is in heaven. Why is it so significant? Well, the Lord wants us to know that he is exalted with authority, with power, to hear and to help you when you pray. Do you believe that you have a Father in heaven who is capable of helping you through the difficulties of life? If you believe and you know who he is, then, well, you would call upon him. That's the beginning of prayer life. And so our text tells us that we have a heavenly Father and that we are his children by adoption. and that he resides in heaven. What is heaven? Well, we said that heaven is the abode of God. Right? Heaven is paradise. Our Father, which art in heaven, it is the eternal refuge. You remember the thief that was by the side of Jesus hanging on the cross? And he says, I believe. And what did Jesus say to the thief? Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So heaven is that description that God is exalted in heaven. The reality of heaven comes to us most vividly. This week, we were at the wake of our sister Lang Ing. Remember our sister Lang Ing, who comes and worship with us? First, the beginning of the year, she came, she walked in. And then she grew weaker. She came on the wheelchair. And about one and a half months ago, she was unable to come. She went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday night. And you know, when a person leaves this physical body, to us loved ones, you feel the loss, because you know that in this physical state, that severance, that loss is somewhat permanent. But if you understand the eternal things of God and what God has done or what God is doing, then you know that a soul that dies in Christ, absent in the body, is present with the Lord. We have that assurance in our heart that she, being a child of God, adopted into the family of God, when she dies, she is in heaven with the Father. And so the Lord wants us to understand that relationship, that we have a God that abodes in heaven, and that we, his children, helpless as can be, we know that when we take our last breath, we would be there with him in paradise. What is heaven like? Well, Revelation 21, verse 4 to 5 tells us. Our sister Lang Ing, we said, is now in a better place, safe in the arms of Jesus, in Beulah land. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. She was experiencing pain in the last months, somewhat. Morphine was administered. Neither any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, to John the apostle, write, for these words are true and faithful. So when we pray to the Father in heaven, we are saying that, you know, you are there in heaven and we are here on earth, a needy people, but we will be there one day to be with you, our heavenly Father. That's the relationship that is being conjured as we think. And we also know that death is the greatest impasse for men, and no man can avoid this inevitable outcome. But because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we preach the message to comfort the bereaved family, right, to let them know that one day God will give us a new body again when Christ returns. The body and soul will come together. We have no loss in eternity. And the Lord wants us to understand that relationship. Therefore, when we pray, "Our Father in heaven," we are proclaiming that He has the authority and the power to hear you and to help you when you pray. So the phrase "in heaven" refers to heaven as the center of the universe, as the seat of all authority and power and dominion and greatness. God the Father in heaven is the seat of all authority and power. You have anything that you need help, you can appeal to that seat of authority, that seat of power, and He will hear you. The psalmist says, "I will lift up my eyes upon the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which maketh heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes upon the hills," he says, beyond the hills, the stable hills, to the heavens, seated enthroned, my Father, who is able to help me. He is with me and beside me. That's the meaning, you know, of that phrase. I will lift up my eyes upon the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And that word "cometh" is very interesting. It is the word that means He is there with you and beside you. So when you call to your Heavenly Father, you know, it's as if He's far away, but He's not. He's with you. He's near you. He's able to help you. Very comforting, right? Yeah. This is what God wants you to know. Whatever difficulty, whatever situation that you will be in, or that you are in. That's why the Shorter Catechism very well explained these aspects of the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Let us draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children of a Father, able and ready to help us." And we should pray with and for others. Not only for ourselves, help us, our spouses, our children, our parents, all that is around us. Adoption, authority, reverential worship. If you know that you have a Father, there's this poem that goes, "An eye that never sleeps." There's an eye that never sleeps. "Beneath the wing of night, there is an ear that never shuts when sink the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love that never fails when earthly love decays." That's our Heavenly Father. That's the relationship that must be kindled in your heart. Whatever you think, wherever you begin praying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And then the third thought, reverential worship. If you know who that God is, that is enthroned in heaven, the one that is going to give you all the desires of your heart, well, what would be your response? It must be praise, right? Very happy. So the phrase there, "Hallowed be thy name," is significant. The word "hallowed" means holy or sacred. To hallow means to something, to treat it as sacred and holy and worthy of the highest honor, respect, and regard. So when you say, "Hallowed be thy name," you are saying to hallow God's name, to treat it with utmost reverence, with utmost respect. So therefore, you see, prayer begins with calling upon our Father enthroned in heaven and to praise His name, to give utmost respect for who He is. So prayer begins with giving God reverential worship. This is how we are to approach God, calling upon the worthy name of God, that He be exalted in our hearts. And so the Lord wants us to know that relationship. And we are acknowledging Him for who He is, that He is holy. And what else? Well, I submit to you that He has made us holy. He has made you holy through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why you can hallow His name. That's why you can draw near to Him. And that's the reason for praise. And does God have a name? Do you know the name of God? What is His name? Well, His name is Jesus. One pastor, preacher, Dr. Ray Pritchard, he very keenly observed. He says this: in Jesus, the abstract becomes concrete. When I look at Jesus, all those theoretical ideas about God suddenly becomes reality. God now has hands and feet and eyes to see, ears to hear, lips to speak. God has a voice. He speaks language, and I understand. I see Him touch a leper, and I know that no one is too dirty for Him. I see Him feed the multitudes with loaves and fishes, and I know that He can supply my needs. I see Him with the towel and the basin. I know that no job is too menial for Him. Finally, I saw Him hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, bitten, bruised, bloodied, mocked, scourged, spat upon, jeered, booed, hated, attacked, scorned, despised, rejected, crucified. When I hear Him cried out, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I understand that Jesus has no enemies. In Jesus, I discover a God that takes people seriously. He never treats people casually. He never brushes them off. He never says, you are a loser. He is a God who cares enough to get involved in this ugly, twisted, unredeemed world. That's who God is. If He never took people lightly, then I must not take His name lightly. Unquote. Isn't it true? And indeed, we can entrust our lives to Him. Some trust in chariots, the psalmist says, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And therefore, the Lord wants us to take time. Take time to know Him. Take time to know who He is, this God. And how can we know Him? Well, we said, through His Word. We have begun reading. If you have begun reading through the Bible, there were about seven of our those who are among us who have completed reading the Andrew Murray's Bible, devotional Bible, from day one to day 365, and they are presented a bookmark certificate. And I invite you to begin. If you have not begun, if you have completed, because you have taken the time to read, then do let me know, so that you know we can present you with a certificate that you have gone through to know who our God is, and so that we can communicate with Him, so that we can draw near to Him. The Shorter Catechism says, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. All of the attributes of God we can have. And God wants you to have it. Our spiritual birth, being, wisdom, our devotional life. How can you have wisdom to live life? Study the Word. Take time to pray. Take time for your devotional life. God will speak to you. Power. What does the power of God tell you? Our comfort. Right? That we have a God in heaven that you can call to. Any injustice that you're going through. Well, we have a God who is totally able to help us. Right? It's our hope. And holiness, His holiness, or our holiness, the holiness of God, our purity, right? That we want to live a holy life, a clean life, a blessed life, goodness, right? We have experienced the goodness of God, we've called upon God and He's answered us. What must we do? Well, we pray for others, that God's blessing be upon others too. And we bless the others. And truth, our submission to know who our God is and to love Him and to serve Him. So we have said last week, the first three aspects of the Lord's Prayer sum up the first part of the Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are to instruct we are instructed to direct our attention to God the Father. We pray to the Father that His name be hallowed, that His name be praised, that His name be glorified in our lives. Next week we shall study and seek to know what does it mean. His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why is it that there is this higher purpose that God has called us to be seeking in our prayer before He tells us to pray for our daily needs, to pray for our protection, to pray for all the other things? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the second part, the last four petitions, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are a special people. And God has called us to be a special people, a witness for Him. We have a higher calling, a higher purpose for living in our life, more than this earthly subsistence. We are going to receive heavenly rewards when we meet our Savior. And so here the Lord wants us to think and consider all this. I sum up and conclude with the verse Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for showing us how we can address Thee. Indeed, Thou art our Father who art in heaven. And Lord, we also want to hallow Thy name, want to praise Thee for who Thou art, for what Thou hast done for us to make us Thy children. Help us, Lord, not to forget all that we have received from Thee, all the benefits that we have received from Thee. And so, Lord, we begin this prayer with praise to thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. Lord, help Thy people to be a thankful people. Help us to know who we are by Thy grace. It's but by Thy grace. So Lord, may Thou strengthen Thy people and bless our worship. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.